It's 4 o'clock in Los Angeles. It's 6 o'clock in Dallas, Texas, and 7 p.m. here in New York City. Hello, everybody. Welcome to What's the Buzz, America's Best Podcast. Tonight, a very special edition of Wrestling with the Future. Joining me tonight, as she does every week, God help us all, Amelia, the Pitbull Chat. How are you, Amelia?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm good. You staying out of trouble?
I'm trying to today.
You're
anyway.
It's not working, lady. It's not working. We are broadcasting tonight on the WWTF Radio Network 88.7 around the world and live in more than 33 countries, translated into 19 languages. Wow. We are What's the Buzz? One stop shop is at linktree.com. Check it out at linktree.com. WWTF Radio. Everything you need to know about our show, it's there. Tonight, Mike Messier, a subject near and dear to your heart and mind, as we both know, the WWE Hall of Shame. I'm sorry, I mean Hall of Fame. The WWE Hall of Fame wish list. This is our night. Tonight, we play Vince McMahon. We get to make our own Hall of Fame.
And that's all we're doing is playing Vince McMahon. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Absolutely.
This is a family show.
That voice, ladies and gentlemen, can only come from a professional wrestler. That's Lou Marconi. Lou,
hey,
welcome to our first one with Lou Marconi.
Hey, how you doing?
He is a retired pro wrestler, trainer, and sometimes actor, they tell me.
Yes.
He has wrestled in numerous indie promotions in the Mid-Atlantic and Midwest. Mm-hmm. Since his debut in 1993, you're making me feel very old. Lou, I got socks older than you. In fact, I probably got Andre's underwear somewhere around here.
All right, we got to explain that.
Tell everybody why I'm talking about Andre the Giant's underwear. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I was trained in 1993. I started training with Charlie Fulton in Marion, Ohio. Very well-respected trainer and teacher. His brother-in-law was Johnny Rods. So the sisters, Irene and Eileen, were sisters. They were respective wives of Charlie and Johnny Rods. Well, at Charlie's funeral in 2016, when I was there, Eileen told me the funniest Andre the Giant story I ever heard. She didn't tell me what year it was, but I know is when Andre still had the big afro, when he had the long hair.
Oh God, yeah, sure.
And I guess Johnny picked up Andre from the airport. And was out, they were heading to the garden for that night show. She was in a laundromat in New York City doing laundry. Well, they decided to pull a rib on her. Andre walks into the laundromat, 7'4", 500-pound, big afro Andre the Giant, points a finger at her and yells, "Hey, lady, where's my underwear?" I cried. I thought that's Andre. That rib is an Andre the Giant rib. And she turns around. She's like, "Oh, hi, Andre. How are you?" Could you imagine all these people in a what the hell is this? So,
I actually met Andre back in the mid 1980s, and I literally came up to his hip.
Oh wow! Yeah,
I literally came up to his. He was a very large, imposing guy.
Yes.
And that was before the back surgeries, when he was legit 7'5".
Yeah. And he from the stories I've heard, if he liked you, you were okay. You were good.
Oh God, yeah.
If he did not like you, you knew it and you avoided him.
And he never did like you once. If he had his mind made up that he didn't like you, he never went out of his way to like you.
Oh wow. Yep.
Ask people like John Studd and Jake the Snake and Randy.
Oh,
yeah, he hated Iron Randy Sheik. Savage.
He hated Savage. He hated Iron Sheik too for some reason.
Oh yeah, and he didn't like it. And Jake will tell you. Jake Roberts will tell you. Andre, no matter what Jake did, could not get on Andre's good side, try as he may.
Yeah, I don't know what did Jake say what it was.
He didn't like the whole snake bit. Andre was, he had a terrible phobia of snakes. Oh. And Jake used to rib him. He used to put the snake in the shower.
Oh, no.
You rib Andre the Giant. That's just.
Yeah, you don't want to do that with a snake.
that's a death wish right there. Man. Yeah,
people
that's a death wish.
Understand this, Lou. Andre, because of his sheer size, It was, he couldn't take a normal bath or go to the bathroom like people. So no. when he had his freedom was to be able to go into a real locker room shower
and take a shower. Yeah,
he'd have room. He had the room.
Yeah.
People don't understand. And when he was in his, for lack of a better word, his element, you didn't screw with the guy in his element, you know?
Which was a wrestling locker room.
Exactly. It was a wrestling locker room. You didn't bother Andre in the shower or playing bridge.
No, he was playing, and he had his bottles of wine there too. You did not touch him. He would go through them. He'd drink like they were. I mean, they would drink it like there was water to us.
Oh God, yeah. He and Tim White and
Tim White's a great guy.
And Arnold Skolin, and both gone now. All three of them actually are all gone.
I didn't know Tim passed away.
Bridge and pinochle and all kinds of card games. But we are here tonight because we get to play the Booker Man. So Booker Mike Man. Messier,
sure.
Since you and I were the first ones to broach this subject, let me bring you up here, my friend. Okay. Gonna bring you. You're a guy that's befitting the big camera.
Thanks.
Camera Films. Welcome back to the show, brother.
Good to be here.
You and I have talked about this previously, the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Shame. Is it a real hall? So let's identify what we're talking about here. What define for me in Messier terms, what is the Hall of Fame?
You know, I think it's something that started as a way for Vince McMahon Jr. to pay respect to Andre the Giant. Speaking of Andre, the first WWE Hall of Fame inductee was Andre the Giant. It was basically announced, I believe, in March of 1993 on Monday Night Raw. Andre had passed away the month earlier. They did a nice video segment tribute to Andre. I think they might have rang the bell 10 times, even though he had been deceased for a few weeks. And they basically said Andre the Giant's the first inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame. And I think it started as a tribute to Andre. And then I think they started doing dinners just for the boys, just for, you know, the guys that were with the company. And some early inductees were guys like the Big Cat Ernie Ladd and Bobo Brazil.
Buddy Rogers.
I knew Buddy. Buddy was a good friend of mine. He was my neighbor too here in New Jersey.
Yeah, Blassie was in there. Monsoon, Strongbow.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, the guys that were more of the Vince McMahon senior era came first. I think they did this until 96 or 97. These relatively small luncheons for the inner circle, and then there was a gap of about 7 years, and in 2004. They actually did one with Bobby the Brain Heenan getting inducted, and this one they videotaped, and it came out on DVD. So I have that. It's a two DVD set. Jesse the Body Ventura and Heenan, I would say, are the co-top guys, although there was a lot of top guys in that class. And then by the next year, when they inducted Piper and Hogan in 2005, it really started to build steam and blow up. And then eventually it became a thing where it wasn't just the inner circle, you know, the McMahons and whoever they invited. It started to be a thing where they got smart, as WWE will always do. How do we monetize this?
That's Vince there, brother. How do we make some money?
Right. So not only did they release the DVDs, but they started to sell tickets to the actual live event. As a production thing, my complaint would be once you started bringing the fans in and the fans want to dictate the evening with chants and with cheers and stuff like that, I think it took a turn for the worse. I agree more. Yeah. I think it was better with the inner circle. You still get applause. Before we went on tonight, I watched probably the best Hall of Fame speech, the Bobby the Brain Heenan speech from 2004. And that's, I think it peaked with that. I think Bobby's speech back in 2004 is the peak of the whole thing. Yeah. The fans look forward to it, and kind of like what we're doing tonight, people love to come up with their lists. So I spent a couple of hours coming up with my list. Some of my picks are are more likely to happen than others. But we have seen some people like a Scott Steiner who got in with his brother as a tag team, but he had talked trash about the WWE and even their Hall of Fame for years. The Honky Tonk Man talked badly about the Hall of Fame. He got in. So it doesn't really matter what these guys say. Now, the one thing about the Hall of Fame, the WWE Hall of Fame, there is no actual venue. There's no physical building.
And there never will be.
And there might be. I mean, I could see them
there never will be. I'll lay money on that. There will never be a real venue.
Well, I could see them taking a room in Full Sail University or wherever the WWE does business, and they could do something. But whether they do something or not, this thing started as a figment of Vince McMahon's imagination.
Yeah,
and because Vince McMahon has such power with the wrestling fans, people have given it legitimacy. For the boys that get in and the girls, the wrestlers, it's a nice night. They get a little stipend to go in and to do a speech. Sure. And some of them might get that Legends contract as a result of this or as part of the plan. And they have a nice time and people watch it and it's entertainment for the masses. So there you go.
Okay. Lou Marconi, bringing you up here, my friend.
Yes, sir.
The Hall of Fame. When did you become aware that it was a thing and what did you think about it?
Well, the first time was in 93. That was around the time when I started training and breaking into the business. It was February 93, and that was right after Andre passed away. So people I get stories about Andre, ask questions about Andre all the time.
Sure.
And I never met him. I never met him because I was, but before I even got into the business, he passed away.
I think that's a testament, Lou, to just how beloved Andre was. If you're a wrestler, then everybody knows Andre the Giant. You must know him because you're a wrestler.
Yeah, you must have met him. Have you ever met him? I get questions all the time of people of who I met and who I worked with. And the funny thing was like the Savage, Piper, and Hogan was at WCW when I was at WWF during the Attitude Era. That was just funny. But it was a great time to be at the company, during the Attitude Era. Oh, it was amazing. Let's just see. I have a list of guys who I think should get in, and you guys are probably going to
that in a minute. That in a minute. I'll tell everyone in the interest of full disclosure. It took me 3 days to make my list because I had to stop at 200. I had to take the 200 names.
I have six, and I have three. I have three. You guys might not have never heard of. I'm going back. I'm going back in the history of the business. I'm going way back.
Well, you ain't going back further than I am, boss.
We'll find out. Have you ever heard of the Gold Dust Trio?
Absolutely. So I'm gonna watch my list when it comes. You're going to shit fucking gold bricks, brother.
No. I'm not doing that. Because it's funny because I did a show a long time ago with this young man named Blake out of Wisconsin, and I was telling him about the brutalness of the Beverly Brothers the enhancement talent with the Beverly Spike. I told him to go on YouTube and look it up. He had no idea who I was talking about because he was so
those
young.
Those guys were amazing. Yeah. And another example of being promoted all the wrong ways.
Mm-hmm.
That's a textbook case of great talent not used, underused, misused. The Beverly Brothers were it in spades.
Yep. But Amelia, that was just something.
Yes.
You are up, young lady.
Mm-hmm.
Your list. How long did it take you to make your list?
It took me a few days too because I wanted to think about who I thought should have been and who would have been separately instead of together. That was already on the Hall of Fame.
So let me just kind of go in with the theme here. Mm-hmm. So when did you become aware of the Hall and its impact on you?
Of course, when I was growing up too, my dad of course introduced me to wrestling when I was growing up as well, and of course in the 93, 94 era too, like Andre the Giant and as well Hulk Hogan, that era, and then of course Southwest Championship Wrestling. I grew up watching that because that was in my era in Texas.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to forgive her, Lou. She's from Texas, so
it's okay. I don't
feel bad for her.
Hey,
Mike Messier knows the drill here. We just, we pat her on the head and say, "Poor girl."
Yeah.
It's fine.
So, because you are the only woman on the crew, we're going to go ladies first. All right, give me your first five on your list.
Okay. Of course, I'm going to go with Gino Hernandez because he's my favorite wrestler, and I think he should have been on.
Now, hold on a second.
Great choice.
Ha, ha, ha.
But I get that. But let's be honest. We're talking about the WWE Hall of Fame. Gino Hernandez didn't even take a fart in the WWE.
Well, you know what? They own him anyway, so might as well just put him in there.
So neither did Abdullah the Butcher, right?
No, but Abby paid. Abby was smart, though, Lou. Abby paid a fee to get in. Because I know Abby, and I know his story.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he paid them $4,000 to get a $5,000 check.
Oh, so he got $1,000 out of it.
Yeah, he made money on it.
Well, I have Gino because he was an excellent person with the mic. You give him the mic and just there you go.
Gino was golden on the mic. Okay, yeah. Who else you got?
Of course, Miss Elizabeth. She did not get her credit.
I'll give Elizabeth. Absolutely. Go ahead.
And I agree. China should have been on there as well by herself.
She should from day one have been
exactly
a single entrant on her own. I agree with you.
And Rick Martel.
The model Rick Martel.
Rick Martel's not in.
Yeah, no. He doesn't want to go
Rick,
in.
Rick the model Martel. Okay. Mikey.
Yeah.
Your first five.
Okay. Ted Turner.
Okay.
Vince McMahon Jr.
Okay.
The Midnight Express and Jim Cornette.
Okay, you got it. Beautiful.
Missy Hyatt.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you there.
And the Bruiser and the Crusher.
I love this guy.
I like that.
I have all of them on my list. Mm-hmm. You're gonna see my list because Big Daddy don't do nothing half-assed. All right. Here's my list, ladies and gentlemen. If you're gonna do it, Lou, look. I have only one expression. If you're gonna do it, go big or go home. Here's my list. That's Big Daddy's list.
That's a hell of a list.
Yeah. I got Mike. I'm serious, bro. I'm not even working you here. This is a straight shoot. All right. It took me 3 days and I had to stop at 200. And everything you saw on your screen, folks, I have in front of me on paper.
Yeah.
I had to limit it to 50. Okay. I thought I have to put a video together for my frigging list here.
And for somebody that doesn't like to work on paper.
The first name that hit me, because I knew the guy. I knew him well. Andy Kaufman.
I knew
Andy personally. I knew a lot of the people on this list. My background, Lou, for you, that you know, because I know you're new here, you don't know. My background is I worked for WWF. I worked for NWA, WCW. I was at the beginning of ECW when it was Tri-State. Joel Goodhart's a dear friend of mine.
Oh, great.
Decent guy. Real good guy. So I have a history in wrestling that goes back. Plus, my uncle was Phil Zacco. There's a name you probably don't know. You might want to check him out.
Yeah. I'll write
check out the name Phil Zacco, Toots Mont.
Yeah, I know Toots Mont. Yeah.
Yeah.
Toots Mont's not in the Hall of Fame, is he?
No.
He is. No, he is.
Is he? Did they put him in?
Mm-hmm. He's in the website. See, a couple of guys like Andy Kaufman, for instance. Andy Kaufman's in now.
Yeah.
And Toots Mont is in. Volkoff and the Sheik are both in. Iron Sheik and the original Sheik.
Okay. So
the thing is, guys, what the WWE does that's kind of confusing is they added something called the Legacy Wing. Once again, this is all Vince McMahon's imagination. There's no venue, but they added the Legacy Wing where they kind of shoehorned a guy's like Bruiser Brody and Wahoo McDaniel, that people like us that actually know what we're talking about were angry that some of these guys weren't getting in, and some of the pretty faces like Tori Wilson and Stacy Keibler were getting in. So to appease the old school fans, they made the legacy win, but they don't actually have an induction speech, and they don't actually help those people in any way. For instance, Bruiser Brody's wife and I think Karen McDaniel's wife were both kind of upset because the way that they found out that their husbands were getting in is that they're getting phone calls and they're getting texts. Phone calls.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Check this out.
As it's happening in live time.
Yeah.
What so Mike is telling
is that
you,
how Toots Mont got in was the legacy wing? Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, he's in the legacy wing.
Yeah. I wrote him down.
He started with the Vinny Jr.'s father, Toots Mont, Phil Zacco, Vince McMahon Jr., and at the time, their partner, Phil Mushnick. Sam Mushnick.
I have him down too.
Yeah.
I have Sam Mushnick, I have Fez, and I have Fulton. Those are my first three. Charlie Fulton. Because I think Charlie deserves to get in.
I mean, does anybody know if Lou Fez is in?
I believe so.
Is he?
Do you know if Lou is in the hall?
I think Lou's in. I've got the website up right now, sort of cross reference, but they don't. Here's the thing, guys. Like I said, they kind of shoehorn some people in, and it's hard to keep up with because it's very frustrating. For instance, like I said, Bruiser Brody and Wahoo, they deserve ceremonies, and they have their they have their families. Mm-hmm. But a Big John Studd or a Big Boss Man, they'll have their families.
Oh yeah.
We should tell everybody too that we've talked about this with Karen McDaniel and Barbara Goodish, who are both dear friends of mine. Amelia knows she's been here with them. Mm-hmm. Dear friends of mine. I love Barbara. I love
They're Karen. Really great people.
Karen and Barb both got the word from WWE that their husbands were going in on a phone call.
Right.
On a phone call. In fact, Barb Goodish said that the first knowledge she had was getting an email from Howard Finkel.
Late Howard Finkel. Yeah.
Great
guy. I always liked him. He's a really nice guy. I had the Gold Dust Trio, including Sandow, from going back to the 20s because how they revolutionized the business.
Sure.
I think that needs to be acknowledged. So that I had the Gold Dust Trio total, and I including Ed Strangler Lewis. I don't think Strangler Lewis is in there. I don't think you talk to Ed Strangler Lewis, a fan today, they wouldn't know who he is.
Here's the guy talking about nobody knows. Stanislav Zbyszko.
I know the name.
Larry Zbyszko took his name from.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it was Larry Whistler. Yep.
Yeah.
His real name's Larry Whistler.
Stanislav Zbyszko. Ed Strangler Lewis. People don't realize that there were actually two Ed Lewises.
Mm-hmm.
There was Ed Strangler Lewis and Ed the Claw Lewis. Long before there was a guy named David Atkinson who became Fritz Von Erich. And the Claw. The people don't understand because they don't. A lot of, in fairness, though, they're not all as old as dirt like me and Lou. they're young. They're young like Melia and Mike Messier, who lies about his fucking age, bastard.
Strangler Lewis, Ed Strangler Lewis, Lou Fez, Dr. Jerry Graham, Dara Singh, Captain Lou, Carlos Colon. There's a bunch of people that have been George Hackenschmidt, Gordon Hackenschmidt.
There's another one.
It's basically if you go to WWE.com/superstars and then you click on the Hall of Fame, they're all listed. Yeah. And like I said, it is frustrating because a lot of people are in, but we haven't had a ceremony, so it seems like they're not, but they're actually in there.
Yeah, and I looked at my paper. Yeah, and it says Lutez was in the 2016.
In 2016, Amelia?
Any of you guys ever met Luthez by chance?
I have.
I have too. I've met him once.
If you go on to my website at podbean.com, there's a picture of Lou and I. We're smiling because he was just telling me a dirty joke. he loved toilet humor. And you know who else did too? And you're probably. Lou probably knows this, but Vince McMahon loved toilet humor.
Yes.
He did. He loved bathroom humor. But yeah. So did Lou. Lou had like a dossier of like dirty toilet jokes. Fucking funny shit too. Funny stuff.
We Amelia, did you do you talk go about ahead.
Your next five?
Okay. Of course I put the Von Erichs down, but I put them to they should have been put in separately because I don't believe that Mike should have been put in because Mike to me wasn't that, you know, wrestler as much as the other Von Erichs. Definitely Fritz should have been put in there separately.
We have Jimmy Thunder is in our chat. He says, I wonder who said they should put in induct Gino.
I did.
That was our native Texan over here, Jimmy.
The Tejano. The Tejano told you that.
The Midnight
that's right.
Express.
The Mexicana did.
Me and Mike Messier.
Messier
said the Midnight Express. Mm-hmm. Mike, here you go. Here you go, Lou. Mike Enos and Wayne the Train Bloom were the Beverly Brothers.
Yes.
There you go. That's our friend Leon. Leon's a, you know, Leon's a great wrestling historian because he's like us. Mm-hmm. Lou, he has no life. So the whole he does is watch old wrestling like we do.
I have to tell Amelia slide, later. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Also, I think that Sunshine, even though I didn't really care for her as growing up, but I think she was really good. And of course, Baby Doll.
She's another one that's been here.
Nicola.
I love Nicola.
Nicola Roberts is another dear friend of ours. Yes. Here.
She's a sweetheart. Yeah, she's really.
Yeah. Did you ever have her on your show, Lou?
My show? No.
Yeah.
No, I have not.
You do a radio show in Cleveland, right, Lou?
I do a podcast.
You do a podcast. Let me bring you up here. I want you to promote your radio show. I mean your podcast.
The podcast I do is Rumble Only. There's several that I do. I do a podcast with Corey Castle out of Philadelphia. We do the Sunday Stew Pod. It's a Sunday wrestling talk show. So we talk wrestling there. I am a Cleveland Browns beat writer for Fans First Sports Network, and I do a daily morning 10-minute, 15-minute podcast, Burning River Browns Talk. If you're from Cleveland, you understand the term Burning River. We had a river in the 70s catch on fire that goes through the city of Cleveland from pollution. That's a shoot. So I call it Burning River Browns Talk. So I cover the Browns. That's on YouTube. The thing that we do on Rumble is because we talk about a lot of stuff that YouTube would take us off for. That's why it's on Rumble. So we do that. Thank you for letting me do that. Now,
you're quite welcome, bro.
Look, Amelia, I would tell you a story to Amelia. When I was working for the NWA in Houston, in the building we were in, and I was there, I was there just as a guest, but I was wrestling at another room in this building that we were working in. There's a quinceanera happening, and it was just so funny because all the Latinos kept walking out wanting to take pictures with the gringo wrestlers. It was hilarious.
Yeah, they love wrestling, I tell you.
Oh yeah. Man. I got the nickname Papi Gringo. I swear to God.
Funny.
Yes.
Papi Gringo.
Amelia.
No, I need to pull Amelia in here again. Keep
El
it
loco gringo. El loco gringo.
All right, Mio. So we got your next five.
I'll be quiet.
No, it's all right. You're fine, Lou. We have fun here, brother. We have fun.
I know.
Sorry about my screen here. I don't know what's going on.
I was making her laugh too much.
The next one would be Lex Luger. I think he should have been inducted as well.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't in as a horseman?
No, I'm not sure.
Barry Windham was.
Windham was? Okay. Thank you, Mike.
The last one for Move the Five would be Bobby Jaggers.
Bobby Jaggers. There's a name that Scott Casey would have an issue with.
Scott Casey.
My friend Cowboy Scott Casey might have a big issue with Bobby Jaggers.
He can kiss my ass as far as I'm concerned.
Scott Casey, for the record, you can hear the interview I did with Scott Casey on our show here. I asked him about Bobby Jaggers. He said, let me tell you something, Mad Dog. You know how you knew when Bobby Jaggers was lying? I walked right into it. I said, no, how do you know, Cowboy? When his fucking lips was moving. Because apparently the guy couldn't tell the truth. Mikey Messier, you are back up, brother. Your next five.
All right. I should have said this guy first. I'm sorry I didn't. Ox Baker. the master.
Oh, yeah. I remember him. Yes.
Great pick, Mike. Can I tell them, Mikey, Mike Messier? You'll find this interesting, Lou. And if Mike, you don't mind me talking on your behalf. Mike Messier did Ox Baker's eulogy at his funeral. Mikey and Ox were very dear friends.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to meet him in Charlotte at a fan fest. He was a great guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Mikey and Ox were good friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. Ox called me one day and basically demanded I head to his house with a video camera to tape what became Ox Baker, One of the Boys, which basically Ox knew that he was dying, and he wanted to do a goodbye interview for his fans and tell some wrestling stories. So that's currently on One Pro Wrestling and Sports Fan YouTube channel. And then as part of that movie, I read a poem that I read at both Ox's funeral, you know, at the actual cemetery. And then later that night, we had a nice memorial service for Ox, and Bob Backlund was nice enough to attend both of those. So Ox is well remembered, and Ox Baker really loved wrestling, and he loved his era of wrestling, but he still kept up with the current stuff. My number two pick has been said a million times. A lot of our wrestling friends say this. Ivan Koloff, it's a tragedy that he's not been listed.
It's absolute all because of a personal grudge.
Yeah. Uncle Ivan's not in?
No.
No, he's not.
Wow.
I have to tell you, Lou, that my late co-host, Mikey Newham, Jeff the Ref Robinson, we just did his tribute show, he was very dear friends with Ivan Koloff. And I had a guy on the show that Jeff refused to come on the show because this particular gentleman was one of those people responsible for Ivan not being considered for induction. And I won't mention the guy's name, Sal Corrente. You know?
You say his name three times, he appears.
I'm Italian, you know? So
me too. Me too.
I have no filter.
So am I.
Go ahead, Mikey.
My third pick goes back to the promoter's wing and also to a woman that was ahead of her time, Ann Gunkel.
Ann Gunkel, yes, sir.
Absolutely.
She was a promoter. Her husband passed away, and Ann took up the promotion, and she was actually in another thing that was ahead of its time, a good old-fashioned territory promotional war. There was two promotions in Georgia, and Ann, I could be wrong, but I think Ann and Jeff Jarrett's grandmother were really like the two first
Between these two women, they single-handedly created Mid-South Wrestling. Ann Gunkel, of course, was married to Ray Gunkel, who was also a promoter and wrestler, also not in the Hall of Fame. Mikey, what else you got, bro?
Well, speaking of women promoters, I'm going to go a little more modern, Dixie Carter.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw the pause there. Go ahead.
Dixie Carter, basically her family, and because she loved wrestling, and maybe she loved wrestlers, who knows, but she basically financed TNA, Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. When the Jarretts lost their promotional deal, Dixie Carter and her family stepped in. And Dixie, whether you love TNA, what it's become now, it gave guys like AJ Styles a platform, guys like Samoa Joe a platform.
Sure, it did.
The Motor City Machine Guns, the six-sided ring. And if it wasn't for Dixie Carter and her love of wrestling and her family's money, and if they financed TNA Wrestling to put their daughter on TV, that gave a lot of wrestlers that we enjoy today and for the last 15 years or 20 years, really, an opportunity to make money and a lot of fans like us to enjoy them wrestling. So I got to put Dixie Carter in. Okay. And then my fifth pick for this round is basically because this is in Philadelphia. WrestleMania is in Philadelphia. So if they were going to do it, if they were going to do something
away.
If they were going to do something like this, this is when it would be. I would say for the first time ever, put a promotion in the Hall of Fame, put ECW as the first wrestling promotion to go in as an entity.
ECW is going in by proxy because Paulie's going in this year.
Yeah, I know.
And the only reason Paulie's going in is he accepted it this time only because it's in Philadelphia.
Right.
To the point where the Hall of Fame now, the building that they're holding the Hall of Fame is the Wells Fargo Center. 27,000 seats. You can't buy standing room. So what they did was they had to utilize the next closest venue, which is a baseball stadium next to Lincoln Field, where WrestleMania will be held. Mm-hmm. So Citizens Bank Park will now host part of WrestleMania. So, Lou, just to give you an idea, in the city of Philadelphia, the three major sports complexes are all hosting WrestleMania. There will be an extra 1.2 million people in Philadelphia. It will become... Philly will be the third largest city in America that weekend.
Corey Castle, my co-host for the Sunday Stew Pot, will be there for the second night. I'll be watching it on Peacock in Cleveland, from the comfort of my family room in Cleveland.
Absolutely.
That's where I'll be. That's where I'll be. You're gonna be in my family room in Cleveland? You're going to come here?
Right?
Just kidding. No, I'm outside of Cleveland. I'm in Geauga County, Ohio. I'm kind of on the outskirts of it. Yeah. I live more in I'm in a more rural area of Ohio. I have like 2 acres of land here. I like it. It's quiet.
So, Mikey, who's next on your next five, Mike?
Go ahead, Mike.
The Games Master, Kevin Sullivan. I think.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Whether it's in-ring talent, the Prince of Darkness, and all the stuff that he did in this state that I'm in, Florida. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was a kid and I'm buying this wrestling magazine, it's Kevin Sullivan and the Purple Haze and the Woods sacrificing a raccoon. You know what I mean? So
Purple Haze, absolutely.
Right. And all the things that Kevin Sullivan did behind the scenes with WCW. And I mean, there's a story that goes around that the WWE expressed an interest in Kevin Sullivan coming to work for them at some point.
Yeah,
and Kevin goes and he meets Stephanie McMahon, and Stephanie McMahon says, "Do you have a resume, Mr. Sullivan?" So, I mean, the lack of respect to Kevin Sullivan from Stephanie is just ridiculous. Sure. But anyway, I respect Kevin Sullivan. And
her father. He's an asshole.
Yeah. So then number two, I'm kind of surprised they're not doing this, but maybe they'll do it next year. The Rock, the actual Rock. You know, he's the number one heel in the company right now. And
About The Rock, Mikey. Let me bring you here. Let's talk about The Rock for a second.
Sure.
Before Dwayne The Rock Johnson, there was another Rock who is not in the Hall. A guy who I knew very, very well for a long time, Don The Rock Morocco, the magnificent one.
He got in 2004.
He's in now?
Mm-hmm.
He's been in for 20 years. Update. Yeah.
They need to update that then. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize. Well, go ahead. Continue.
Yeah. He's a good dude. Morocco's a really good guy.
Yeah. Mick Foley inducted Morocco in 2004. So the next round of this, what I would say, the Crockett family, Jim Crockett Sr., Jim Crockett Jr., David Crockett, some of the wives. I think there was another brother that ran the camera. So kind of like they did with the Von Erichs, I just put the whole JCP family in as an entity.
There you go.
That's not bad.
Thank you. My fourth and fifth are going to be a couple of old school wrestlers. Steve Dr. Death Williams.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
He was the Universal Wrestling Federation, both the Herb Abrams version and the Bill Watts version.
Yes,
and,
sir.
One of the toughest guys that ever wrestled. He kind of gets a bad rap because of that whole Brawl for It All ridiculous thing. But I mean,
that was stupid.
Yeah, it was. But I saw Steve Williams and Terry Gordy the same night that Simmons beat Vader in Baltimore. The main event, the last match on that show, was actually Steve Dr. Death Williams and Terry Gordy defeating Rick and Scott Steiner in 2 out of 3 in Baltimore. So I'm happy that I got to see those guys wrestle.
I got a chance to sit and have dinner with Steve Williams at the Cauliflower Alley Club banquet that we were, because I'm a life member of Cauliflower Alley, and a nicer guy you'd never want to meet. The guy was such a sweet, gentle, soft-spoken guy. And when you saw him work, he was the kind of guy that drove fear into you. He was very stiff, you know, not loose at all. No. Quite snug. Lou, you understand what snug and stiff
are. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you work the indies, because people like the, you know, a lot of people don't know how to work on the indies, Lou, and they're a little snug sometimes.
Ouch. Yes, just like, yeah. It's like, dude, lighten up.
Exactly. What else you got, Mikey?
I got the man with the hands of stone, the former NWA World Heavyweight Champion. Ronnie Garvin. And was a guy, he had a lot of good matches, I'm sure, in Philadelphia in the mid-80s.
Are you kidding? He lived at the Civic Center, for crying out loud. They were there every month.
Yep.
Every month. Oh, Lou. Yeah. Bring it back up, Big Lou.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Your next 5 or 7. Go for it.
Okay. Al Snow with the head.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Obvious.
Why not? I had a chance. I worked Al a couple times. He's probably one of the best human beings you'll ever meet in the wrestling business.
And very, very limber in the ring. Very loose.
Oh, excellent. He was excellent. He was so light.
You never know you're being touched.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell me if they're in or not, but I had Bobby Fulton and Tommy Rogers, the Fantastics.
That's what I had. Yeah,
Fantastics. I believe, are they in, Neil?
No, they're not. No, Bobby was on my list too.
I have them. They're on my list as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got three more. The Golden Greek, Londis.
Oh, John Londis.
Yes, going back.
Yes,
going back, yeah. Baron Leone.
Man.
No,
people
he's
don't
not in
remember.
Yet.
I remember Baron Leone.
Okay, so he's, I got he, one more here. What's that?
Leone's not in. I'm going to look up Londis. He might be. I think, but the second guy
I don't think Baron Leone, Londis. I think Gorgeous George is in. I wrote him down. George Wilson?
Gorgeous George is not.
The original one. He's not?
No, he's not. I have it. Okay. He's on my list.
I got Gorgeous George on because I put on a lot of old going way back. Mm-hmm. I would have put Bruno down, but Bruno went in before he died. So,
he went in. What was it, Mikey? Three years before Bruno passed? 4 years? Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice that
Bruno was a friend of mine, Lou.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew him very well.
Triple H was able to patch things up with Bruno.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, Gorgeous George, according to WWE.com, is in. Okay. I did not see Jim Londis. I'm looking, but I didn't see Jim Londis yet on this page.
If they have him in, then it's either in a legacy wing or a special legends. Because he's not. I don't believe he was actually inducted. With a speech and all right. that, yeah. I don't believe that.
Okay, go ahead. That's. Did you need any more from me? Because I.
Yeah, give me two or three more, Lou.
Jesus, I did put down Frank Gotch.
Frank Gotch, I think is in.
You think he's in? Okay? It's hard to tell sometimes. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I think he's in. Amelia, mm-hmm. check that out for us. Do some quick research.
Frank Gotch is in.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure, Lou. I thought he might be.
Yeah. And you said Hackenschmidt was in too, but I wrote him down because I'm going mm-hmm. way back in.
Yeah, George Hackenschmidt. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Those are going yeah. back. There was one that I wrote down. I would just want to see Jim Cornette go in just to let him talk for an hour.
Oh God, yeah.
I had Cornette read, but we've had him down at the Midnight Express, which would be perfect too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about the Midnight with. I liked him with Stan Lane and with Dennis mm-hmm. Condrey. Either one's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bobby Eaton, great guy, great dude. Jim Cornette actually. Was my opportunity at the WWF because I had a friend that was an announcer in Ohio, kept sending Smoky Mountain Wrestling tapes, mm-hmm. and I'm on those tapes. Mm-hmm. And Jim started calling me. And
right?
It was awesome. I'm like, thank you. Thanks.
Yes,
so, but go ahead. I mean, that's pretty much it. But I thought nobody mentioned Al Snow, so I thought he would be one.
Yeah.
And if you want to even go, if it's in Philadelphia,
yeah.
Would you consider somebody that was more of a gimmick guy, but I consider him a great friend, was the Blue Meanie?
I think Brian is so under. You don't even know how underrated Brian Efron is.
Yes, Brian. I've known him for 30 years. I know
Brian is a hell of an athlete. Don't let his You know, he impressed me when I first saw him. Like, he doesn't look anything now like he used to look. But even when he was overweight as the meanie, and by the way, do people know where he got the name from? Here's the trivia for you.
The Beatles.
Yeah.
The Yellow Submarine. And that came from Scotty Levy, Raven.
Yep.
Came up with the idea. I was there.
The Beatles. Yes, sir. Raven Lou and I were older than dirt.
I remember life without the internet. Yeah.
Right? It's my turn now. Here you go.
Your turn. Go.
Papa Bear's got a couple for you. Here's a lady that's near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. Good friend of our show, Princess Victoria.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Princess Victoria and her partner, Judy Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very, very dear friends of ours, personally and of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here you go. Leilani Kai. Right?
Yep. I'm actually friends with her on Facebook. We talk all the time.
Who? Joyce Grable. I'm taking up the mantle for the women here. We got Joyce Grable, Princess Victoria, Leilani Kai, Judy Martin, Donna Cristinello. You know, but God forbid if they eliminate Moolah, please, you know.
Oh my God.
All hell breaks loose if you talk shit about Moolah, the fucking pimp.
What about Mildred Burke?
Mildred Burke was, let me tell you something. Mildred Burke would have ripped Moolah to shreds.
Mm. Yes, she
was. That woman was legit jacked and had biceps back in the day. Yeah.
Mildred Burke was a woman you did not mess with.
No, she's already kick your ass.
She's in. Mildred Burke is in?
Mildred's already in. Yeah, Mildred.
Oh, is she? Okay.
Good.
Here you go. This is my surprise, people. Leon White, Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know he's going in, or he's
already in. They waited until after he died. He knew that he was dying.
I was going to say,
he did it posthumously.
He actually knew that he was going to die, and he said, "I'd love to go into the WWE Hall of Fame before I pass away." And so they waited until after he died to put him in.
What?
Oh my God! How horrible they waited.
Here you go. I'll throw a couple other names at you. Boris Zukov,
sure,
the Warlord.
Yeah.
Zeus, the late, the Tiny Lister. Zeus.
Tiny Lister, yes.
Kamala. Is Kamala in now?
Sam Harris?
I don't think he is. I don't think Kamala's
Kamala.
In.
Here you go.
No, he's not in yet.
J.R. Hogg. That's a name from the past. Hacksaw Hernandez. Here we go. Moondog Moretti. These are guys from the 50s and 60s, and they worked for Vince's father. These were guys who helped build the WWWF.
I got two more whenever you're ready. I just wrote down two that you might like.
Go for it.
Okay, Chris Colt Experience. You remember him?
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. I wrote down a woman wrestler. Is Rockin' Robin in?
No. Oh, yeah. Jake's sister. She's not in yet. Jake's sister.
She's a sweetheart. I met her. Well, see, it's been a long time since I've been to Cauliflower Alley Club.
She's been on our show.
My daughters. I used to go all the time, but I've had great conversations with her and with her brother, Michael, which is Sam Houston.
Oh, yeah. So, Sam's been on the show. Sam's
a great
Mike guy.
Messier.
Attest to the fact that not only has Sam been on our show many times, but I set you up with an interview.
Sam came out to Jacksonville. He was on one of his many travels. He pulled over. We met at a restaurant. We did an 11-minute in-person interview. And I ended up writing a 22-page pilot for Sam Houston's life story, actually. My Blood is Real. My Blood is Real is the name of it. So it's available if any producers are out there with money that want to get a TV show about Sam Houston's life. The pilot's been written. I was gonna say that Chris Colt that Lou Marconi mentioned. Chris Colt was kind of like Brian Pillman 15 or 20 years before Brian Pillman.
He was the loose cannon before the loose cannon.
He was on LSD at a steel cage match in Phoenix, and he flipped out because like giant spiders were crawling into the cage.
That's a shoot that happened.
He went out there on LSD and he just completely lost his mind.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, he was out there. Yeah. He came out, he had the Alice Cooper makeup on, and he came out to the Alice Cooper No More Mr. Nice Guy. I thought it was the coolest thing.
I want to create a little controversy.
Go ahead.
Right now. Okay. There are a couple of people, non-wrestling individuals, that are in the hall. As a rule, this is just Papa Bear speaking. As a rule, I'm not a big fan of politicians, comedians, and non-wrestlers, you know, actors being in the Hall of Fame, as a rule. But there are a couple of exceptions. Andy Kaufman clearly has to be there. Yes. Clearly has to be there. Jim Cornette, although not technically a wrestler, because of his
contributions to the business,
being ingrained in the business, has to be there.
He's a historian.
There's one more name. I got to throw this into the mix, Lou, so I'm going to go with you on this one first. Vince Russo.
Why?
Well, I will tell you why. Okay. Whether you love the guy or hate him. First of all, he's a friend of me and Mikey. We know him. And he's been on a show like five times. He's a good guy. But the other thing is he's largely responsible, whether he knew it or not at the time. He's largely responsible for what became the Attitude Era. Now, I can't tell you that I'll give him credit for the Attitude Era, but I will give him credit for planting the seed at a time when wrestling needed to forget the steroid scandal. And he was there right at the prime moment. Mikey, would you agree with that?
Yeah, and Vince Russo, basically the legend goes that Vince Russo was writing for the WWE magazine under Vic Venom's name, the pen name of Vic Venom. Yeah. And they did a episode of Monday Night Raw from Europe that was pre-taped. It was Owen Hart versus British Bulldog. And it just, the show was not very well highly rated against NWO Monday Nitro, basically. So Vince McMahon had a hissy fit. Vince McMahon Jr. had a hissy fit, and he goes into Titan Tower with the magazine of, you know, Vic Venom as Vince Russo is writing, and he slams the magazine down and he says, "This is what Monday Night Raw needs to be." And basically, Vince Russo went from being the magazine guy to suddenly he's the top of creative, and people like Jim Cornette, who I respect as well, but the old schoolers like Jim Cornette were not happy about this. But Vince Russo and some of his stuff worked and some of it didn't. You know, Crash TV is what he would kind of nickname his own style of writing. But
Crash TV.
Yeah, Vince Russo and Ferrara. Ed Ferrara was kind of the guy that carried his pencils or whatever Ed Ferrara did. But they were the guys.
Pissed his ass, sucked his, you know, whatever. Yeah, that's what Ed did. Ed Ferrara didn't do much of anything.
He did a horrible JR impression. I remember
that. Oh, my God. The only thing Ed Ferrara did, and this on a serious note, the only thing that he did legitimately was add credibility, because Ed Ferrara was an Academy Award nominated screenwriter, Emmy Award winning television writer, and wrote the movie Weird Science and some other stuff for, like, you know, for film and TV. So he had a little bit of a pedigree. But other than that, he was good for carrying Russo's pencils. And buttering up his ass. Amelia,
yes,
I'm going to bring you up on the big camera here, and then I'm going to pour myself a cup of coffee. your next two or three.
Okay. I also have the great Kabuki. I don't know if you guys ever heard of him.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
And smack her now.
Sprays out the green mist. Kabuki.
Yep, I remember him. And I don't know if you guys also, Chris Adams was one of my other lists.
I had him down. I had him with Gino as a tag team.
Yeah. And Adrian Street is another one that I had.
That's a great pick.
Great pick. Oh.
Yeah, that was my three.
I love Adrian Street. Absolutely. Because
when, you know, growing up in Texas, you know, we had these big old guys, you know, farmers and oils, like, oh no, this guy, he's, you know, he's gonna be wearing this makeup. Oh, he better not show up here. He better go back. growing up when I was a little girl, they're like, oh no, we're gonna kick them out of here, you know, these big old boys with the boots, yes, you know. And I was like, oh my god, these people just need to grow up.
And Mike, do you think that well, Adrian Adonis, adorable Adrian, was mm-hmm. mimicking the Adrian Street gimmick?
I think it was a play off the name Adrian. I think Adrian uh-huh. Adonis, like, because for whatever reason, the WWF at the time could have just signed Adrian Street. Yeah. And for whatever reason, they didn't. And they used the other Adrian that was available for the, mm-hmm. you know, homosexual mm-hmm. gimmicks type of thing. But yeah, they, good point. And Adrian Adonis isn't in either. He's not in the WWE.
He's not in
either.
Is nope. Murdoch,
I'm going to let you guys on a little.
Murdoch's not in. Dick Murdoch's not in. And Adrian Adonis, neither one of them are in.
Yeah. I'm gonna let you guys in on a shoot here. Adrian Adonis was a rib on Adrian Street.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. Okay, I knew. Okay.
Vince McMahon, whether you know it or not, is or was quite homophobic, and thought that Adrian Street was far too effeminate for his taste at the time. This, by the way, is the same guy that gave us Goldust. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And the Goldust gimmick, if you look at some older pictures of Adrian Street, looks very similar to.
Yeah. The term that they use, Lou, is
androgynous.
Androgynous. Mm-hmm. Vince became very familiar with the term androgynous at the time. Yeah. Let's see, Mikey. Let me bring you up here.
Yeah, I've got probably one more round, and then I'm pretty much finished after this round.
Go ahead, brother. So we're making the round, the loop again.
Well, I feel bad that I didn't say this person first. I know what you said about celebrities, but without this celebrity, there would be no WrestleMania. Cyndi Lauper is always overlooked.
Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. Yes.
They brought her in to induct Wendy Richter, but I don't understand why they didn't induct her at the same time, unless maybe she does not want to go in. Who knows? But Cyndi Lauper, I put up there. I've got Butch Reed as far as just a good old school wrestler. He was his partner in Doom, Ron Simmons, is already in, but I think Butch Reed, who passed away 2 or 3 years ago, he should be in.
Side note on Butch Reed. Butch Reed was booked to do this podcast 1 week before he passed away.
Yeah. And I still
have his phone number in my phone. I haven't deleted it yet.
It's not too late. They could still induct him because he's more than worthy. He's a great wrestler.
Oh, absolutely. Of course.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Here's a guy that I'm surprised they haven't put him in because he did appear on Monday Night Raw 5 or 6 years ago. Psycho Sid Vicious.
Well, you know what, Mikey? He's on my list too.
Yep.
He was Sid Vicious, Sid Justice, and Psycho Sid.
Yeah.
I've got three more, Angelo.
Go for it, brother.
The last two are kind of interesting. The next one's just a good old-fashioned woman's wrestler from the last 15 or 20 years.
Uh-huh.
She was a Victoria in the WWE, and I think she used the name Tara in TNA.
Yes, but, absolutely.
She was kind of like a tweener between the Divas era and the modern Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks era. Because
and therein lies the reason that she never became successful. They couldn't find a niche for her.
She didn't have the right opponents. I mean, she did.
I have to beg to differ with you there. She did have great opponents. The problem was she was too pretty to be heel, or so they thought. But she wasn't pretty enough to be baby, so they thought. So they pigeonholed this poor chick into this, you know, holding pattern of let's wait and see, let's wait and see. And that let's wait and see never came around. And so she ended up leaving and doing commercials for GoDaddy.com.
No, well, that, did she do that? Because that was Candace Michelle. I know Candace Michelle did GoDaddy. I'm talking about Victoria. She shaved Molly Holly's head at WrestleMania 20.
Yeah, she did commercials for GoDaddy.
Oh, I didn't know that. Interesting.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Okay. Absolutely. They're out there.
Well, I was a big fan of Victoria / Tara. I thought she was great. Here's my final two things. I would say, like the UFC, which now the WWE is in bed with because they are owned by the same company of TKO, The UFC does something where the first one they did was Forrest Griffin versus Stephen Bonner. They have matches put into their Hall of Fame, right? So with that being said, if the WWE wants to kind of rip off from UFC, let's put a match in. And the first match that I would put in is WrestleMania 3, Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant as a match.
There you go.
And then
I'm with you there. No argument here.
Thank you.
Steamboat Savage.
you could do them both. I mean, Steamboat Savage was the workers match. That was the better match. But as far as the hype, Hogan and Andre. Yeah, no,
the one that made the money was Hogan Andre. That's right.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. Al Snow said something, Lou. And by the way, you're up next. Al Snow said something. He said, what was the best match at WrestleMania 3? And everybody said, oh, Savage and Steamboat by far the best match. No, what was the best match? The best Hogan match Andre. Is the one that makes the most money.
Hogan Andre.
Hogan Andre was the best match because that made the most. That made WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It made it iconic. We're still talking about it. 40 some. How long ago now?
It's almost 40 years later. There was a Cleveland Cavaliers basketball game going on.
Yeah.
At the time of WrestleMania 3, okay? Mm-hmm. They interrupted during a timeout because at the Richfield Coliseum was where the first Survivor Series was and where the house shows were. And at the Richfield Coliseum, during a timeout, they announced to the crowd that Hulk Hogan pinned Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3, and the place erupted.
Isn't that remarkable during a basketball
game? That is a shoot during an NBA basketball game.
Isn't that some shit?
Yeah.
Yep. Lou, you got your next five or six? What do you got there?
Yeah, I have some people. Tito Santana, is he in?
Yeah, he's in.
Okay. See, that I wrote that down. I wrote down Tony Gurria.
I don't know. He should be in. I don't know if he's in.
I don't think he is because he's on my list, too.
Yeah, that's shocking. I don't think he is. I'm going to look it up.
I don't think he is either. I don't see him on this list.
And I did have Chris Adams and Gino as a tag team. Yeah. So I did tell you that. I did say I'm trying to look here because I wrote down Rock and Robin. I had Rick Martel down. Lex Luger, I did not write down, which was good. There was one other besides Rock and Robin. I'm trying to think who else was out there. Well, I had, like I said, I'm gonna mention this, and you might think I'm crazy. I had Tracy Smothers down.
Absolutely. Okay.
He's awesome.
I had Tracy Smothers down, and I had him because he did a lot. He contributed a lot to the business.
Oh, absolutely, he did.
And is Eddie Gilbert in there? I don't think he is.
No, that's right.
Oh, no, he's not. He's not in there. Eddie Gilbert's not in there.
Eddie is not. I'll tell you, interesting, Mikey and Lou, who else is not in there that may or may not be on your list?
Okay.
Chief J. Strongbow.
He's in.
Oh,
is he in?
He was in the first 94, right after Andre.
He went in with Buddy Rogers. Okay. Yeah, I think he went in with the Buddy Rogers class in Boa Brazil.
Lou, do you know whether the Big Show, Paul White, is he in or not?
No, he's not in.
I don't think he is.
He's under contract to AEW, so they won't put him in right now.
Yeah.
Well, here's an interesting question. The Mikey and Lou on this one. Chris Jericho.
Yes.
Major accomplishments in WWE.
Of course.
He's aligned now with AEW and has been for several years. Recently, they gave him permission recently to go back to WWE to be interviewed for Stone Cold Steve Austin's podcast in studio on their network, right?
Yeah.
What's the likelihood, percentage-wise or yay or nay on it, either one of you guys, or both of you, actually, that Chris Jericho ends up in the WWE Hall sometime soon in the next couple of years? Oh, Lou, you want to take out one first?
I'd say at least 75% chance
he'll be. Okay. I think he's done far too much to ignore him.
And that's being WWE. Very that's a liberal estimation. I'm saying at least 75. That's the floor. But go ahead, sir.
One problem I have, Mikey Messier, is that on a couple of different levels. I don't like. I'm a staunch advocate of the truth, and I don't like revisionist history.
Sure.
I don't like the notion or the idea that that the truth is written by the winners. That's not how it works. You know, truth is written by the truth. Okay. And so my problem with revisionist history is that the WWE largely believes if they ignore it, it didn't happen.
Right.
And I have a problem with that, because if you ascribe to that notion, if you ascribe to that sensibility, half of the WWE Hall of Fame should be omitted at this moment.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
Can I throw this in there, building off of that?
Yeah, please, Angelo? Do. Sure.
Okay. So my final, my big thing here. Well, also my final picks: Triple H, he'll put himself in, and Demolition, they're way overdue. Everybody knows that. But here's,
they were on my video.
Bill and Barry aren't in. Oh, I didn't know they weren't in. I thought they were.
The reason they were part of the lawsuit about the concussions, and they also
so
had.
Was a, I. So was I.
Yeah. So you're not going in either, Lou.
No, fuck them. I don't care.
So,
yeah, either was my friend Big Vito.
Right. Yeah. So Demolition also had a copyright lawsuit. I believe it was Bill Leedy had a lawsuit for copyright. So here's my big thing that's going to be kind of cynical and kind of swarmy and all that good stuff. I'm going to raise the argument, and I'll just say it as a question. Should they revoke Tammy Sitch, a.k.a. Sonny, because she's currently in jail for leading to a man's death by vehicular manslaughter driving while intoxicated?
Not only for that reason, not only for the porn film she did, not only for the fact that she contributed little to nothing to the fucking business, that she was a whore then and is now, and she'll never be anything more than a whore, a fat, ugly whore. She should be removed exponentially from the Hall of Fame and never have her name burned and never mentioned again.
Well,
and that's just me. What do I know?
She should have never been put in the first place.
Yeah, she shouldn't have been in the first place.
That's my point, Lou. I was trying to
I never had a personal issue with her. I will say this. I knew Chris. Chris was a great guy.
Yes, he was. He worked for me many times.
And the way she did him sometimes was sickening. And awful, that's the thing. And it's just like, man, Chris, come on. You know what I mean?
I'll never forget. It rings in my head. Shawn Michaels talking about Sunny Days.
Yep.
Okay. Everybody here, we all know what we're talking about. Okay.
Yep. Right.
Except Amelia, because she's clueless at the moment. What we're talking about. But I promoted for 26 years. Chris worked for me a lot. Tammy worked for me a lot. I'm saying this as somebody who paid them. Okay. I paid her to do what she does. And I still want her out. But Chris was a gentleman, a funny guy, a guy who saved my ass on more than one occasion and gave everything he had to this business and died doing so. And that woman deserves nothing, nothing from the wrestling business. And I'll keep my fucking mouth shut now. Amelia, you're up.
Okay. The other two people that I had was, we forgot, Sweet Georgia Brown was another one.
Oh, the first African-American female wrestler. Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
We actually did a show on her.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah.
And Brian Pillman, I don't think he's in there, is he?
No, he's not.
Brian is not yet. Nope.
No, he's not. Even with the Hollywood Blondes with him and Steve Austin.
They're not in as a tag team either. Austin's in as a singles. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about Mikey Messier? What about Hollywood John Tatum?
I thought about him. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he's in.
No, he's not.
Why did it take so long to get the damn Freebirds in? What was the deal with that?
I think, to be honest with you, it was just that they really didn't. have a good experience when they were in the WWE for a cup of coffee in the 1984. They were there for about 2 weeks. They had a couple of matches. Apparently, the rumor or the legend is that the Freebirds showed up intoxicated to a show, and Andre the Giant kicked them
Andre
out of
fired them. Yeah, no, that's a shoot. That's not legend. That's a shoot.
Right. So
I heard that from Michael Hayes himself.
Right. So
Andre fired them, all of them. They showed up shit-faced for and it was a sold-out event, like 23,000 people. And he said, "Go home."
Get out of here. You listen. I listened to him. Get out of here.
He did. And Vince, I'll give Vince credit. Vince stood by him. Plus, even look, let's be honest about it, Lou.
You're gonna argue
Vince
with him?
Wasn't going to argue with. Yeah, who's going to argue with him, right?
But
go ahead, Neil. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was thinking about it. Think about it. What we had done a show about Chris Benoit. And I thought, you know, even though all the allegations, speculations, and I think he should have still been in the Hall of Fame.
Chris Benoit should have been absolutely inducted. There's no proof now or then. There's no proof that he murdered his wife and kid. I think they were all hit. We did the show. We had police experts here as well. Yeah. There's no way that guy did what they said. I don't care who you are.
I'm going to defend.
Defend Benoit on that. Forget the steroid allegations. Look, you show me a guy in the business that hasn't shot up his ass on roids. Trust me, the business even now today, even more so. Look at the size of some of these fucking monsters. They're huge.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they'll do it. I don't think they'll do it because of the bad PR by doing it. That's the reason why they won't touch it. They won't touch it.
I agree with you. I agree with you, Lou. And even more so, I think it's an absolute tragedy. And it's a sad thing to say, but you know what? They're going to, again, the revisionist history I talked about. They're going to believe what they believe, and you're not going to change their mind on that. Because in their heart and mind, he killed his wife and kid, and then we can't have but we can have a fucking porn star in our Hall of Fame.
That killed the guy.
We can have a killer in our Hall of Fame. Let's look. Scott Hall killed the guy, shot a guy point blank in the head in the parking lot of a strip club in Atlanta.
Self-defense.
Self-defense, but he still killed the guy.
Let me just throw a name out there, and you guys tell me, Billy Jack Haynes.
We're doing a show on him in 2 weeks. Yeah.
Okay, he's not in there. I know he's not in.
No.
I know he was formerly charged with the death of his wife.
Yeah, he has been arraigned for the murder of his wife.
I was talking about him with Corey because I told growing up how old I am.
Yeah.
What I did to get results from other territories, I went to like the grocery store or the convenience store magazines, came out, looked who was on the cover of all these magazines in the 80s. Billy Jack Haynes.
Oh, my
God.
That's
how I knew who he was. Yeah. I'd never seen him wrestle until WWE.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated generation.
Yes.
Yep. The wrestler inside wrestling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What they used to call the Apter mags. By the way, Bill Apter is a friend of mine. He's been on the show a couple of times. Mm-hmm. So where are we at? We're with
the next person. Mm-hmm.
It's me. I talk out of turn. That's me.
No, you're fine. That's all that I had on my list.
But nobody talks out of turn more than I do. They're always telling me shut up around here.
Yeah, like, shut the fuck up. That's all you got to say to me.
Exactly.
I'm on the big screen, so I can't shut up.
She tells me at least one story every show. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. That should be the name of the show.
She does it with a smile on her face.
Hey, that's a good name for a show.
Yeah,
we'll deal with you later, lady.
That would get attention. That certainly would. A lot of toilet humor.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I did have Billy Jack Haynes down, but I don't think he would get in. Jesus. No, I don't have him down.
He's not in, no.
He's not in. That would be funny if they tried to do that. I pretty
don't
much
give them any ideas there, Mark.
How about Buzz Sawyer?
Good pick. Hacksaw Buzz Sawyer. Yes, sir. That's He's not pick. In. Hell great of a pick. Guy.
That's the last one I had was Buzz Sawyer that I didn't get to.
Here's yeah, one it, you don't hear, Mike Messier.
Sure.
Hacksaw. I'm sorry. Rick McGraw. Quick draw on Rick McGraw. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I think Rick McGraw is an example of untapped potential because he passed away too soon. And I think it's one of those things where, I mean, there are certain people that we can have our favorites. Like I would say Hollywood John Tatum. He's a classic mid-80s, upper mid-card guy who brought Missy Hyatt into the business. But it's kind of like by what standard? And this is a very subjective thing.
Yeah.
When Coco Beware got in 10 years ago, people were having a fit. But I was kind of saying, hey, look, Coco Beware did a lot of great stuff in Memphis. He sang the song Pile Driver. The wrestling album 2 is called Wrestling Album 2 Pile Driver. And that's Coco Beware singing the song.
Yeah.
So I really don't argue with the exception of the Sonny thing. And you could go to Jimmy Snuka if you want, because he's in there. And it's quite possible that he led to someone's death too. But I don't really say that anyone doesn't deserve to be in that's in. I would just say it's really hard to say that someone shouldn't be in, because how do you take away someone's contribution to the sport? I mean, Junkyard Dog named Arn Anderson, right? But nobody really talks about that when they talk about Junkyard Dog. But there's so many things in wrestling where somebody did something. Scott Hall suggested the Crow gimmick to Sting. There's so many people that work with each other. Charlie Fulton, Lou's trainer. Charlie Fulton wrestled on TV and made a lot of guys look better than they were.
Yep.
Should they put Charlie Fulton in? I mean, I had an idea.
I have him down. Yeah,
exactly. But I had an idea that guys like Charlie Fulton and guys like Special Delivery Jones, who's in the Legacy wing.
Yep.
I thought it might be nice if they have the Johnny Rods wing, which is basically the guys that weren't just enhancement talents, but guys that really went over and beyond making other people better. And I think guys like Charlie Fulton, that's why I would name it the Johnny Rods wing, because I don't want to use the term jobber. I don't want to use the term enhancement talent. The reality is those guys could have been main event guys.
Let me tell you something. If you had to get through Johnny Rods to get a spot on that roster, he was the acid test. Well, if you didn't get past Johnny Rods, you didn't get a spot.
He'd eat you up. He would eat you up.
Yeah, he sure the hell would, and he was quite stiff, and they told him to be stiff. Let's see what they got. Here's a couple for you. Yeah. Here's what Mikey and Lou, Neil Mascaras.
He's already in.
Yeah, he's already in.
I thought he was, but go ahead. Yeah, I agree. Oh,
is Mill?
Yes. Okay.
He's in.
Yeah. Christian Cage, Edge's partner, Christian.
Sure.
He's not in.
Yeah.
The Fabulous Kangaroos, Al Costello and his partner. What the fuck was his name? Anyway, the Kangaroos.
Heffron. Was it Heffron? Something like Heffron?
Yes, Mikey. And finally, on my end, the Sicilians, Lou Albano, Captain Lou Albano, and Tony Altamore.
Albano's in as a single. Albano's in as a manager.
But not as a tag team.
Not as a tag team.
But here's the thing, though. He's in as a manager. He's not in as a wrestler.
No.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And that's, again, taking a guy who wrestled and relegating him to, what he's best known for. Well, in my opinion, he's best known as a wrestler because that's what I grew up watching him. You know? But, again, I'm a couple of years. I'm a couple of pennies older than some of you guys.
Before I forget, were you guys aware that SummerSlam will be at Cleveland Brown Stadium?
Yeah.
Yep. I'm working because I trained Eric, the Viking Raider, Ray Rowe. I trained
him. Okay, sure.
So I reached out to him. I'm trying to get a media credential. So I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to. I don't know. I have to see what happens. But
I'll give you mine, Lou, but you have to change the picture on it.
I look kinda, a lot prettier what I now. Look like.
All right, final round, Amelia.
I have just one more name. I have Ricky Romero.
Ricky Romero, of course, better known to some people, I'm sorry, Jay Youngblood, by the way, mm-hmm. comes from the Romero family. He's actually a Romero, not a Youngblood. It was Ricky Romero Jr., I believe, was Jay Youngblood. Mm-hmm. Ricky the Dragon, Steamboat's partner.
Steamboat's partner.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good. Another guy died way too young. He was, what, 20, 29, 30, and he died?
Yeah, I think he was 26 or 27. He was really young.
Oh, he was very young.
But
okay.
That's tragic.
Yeah. Mikey, any last-minute takers on the list?
I'm gonna hand this to our audience because some people have been watching and commenting. Jay Thunder from Parts Under. It looks like he's from the UK. He says definitely.
He's from Australia.
Mm-hmm. He's from Australia. He says definitely Ken Shamrock. I think that's a really inspired choice. Ken Shamrock was a TNA NWA champion. He was a WWF Intercontinental champion. Here's a choice from Leon Barfield, another viewer. This is a guy that I worked with on Chris and the Coffee Girl, the Philadelphia Experiment, that's on One Pro Wrestling and Sports Fan YouTube channel. I received the verbal end of this guy, the tongue lashing from this guy, but I still love him. Raven Scott Levy is Leon Barfield. And the only thing I did mention in passing, but I would just kind of reiterate, Mrs. Jarrett, the Jeff Jarrett's grandmother, I think she came even before Ann Gunkel. So I just wanted to say that was another pick of mine.
Yeah. I got one more name I just thought of. Johnny Valentine, is he in?
He's not.
Thought Johnny Valentine should go in.
Yeah. Greg the Hammer's papa.
Yep. That's and you talk about a guy that was known for working snug.
Yeah. Oh, God. Here's another woman that's not in.
Who?
Sable, Mrs. Brock Lesnar.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Is Luna Vachon in?
No. Nope.
Luna is not, to my knowledge.
That's another guy. Is Luna Vachon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mikey, so where are you getting Mikey Messier? Where are you getting Leon and Jimmy Thunder at? Because looking at my chat, they're not here.
They're in the comments, and I have to correct myself. Luna Vachon is in. If you look on the comments, on the comments on StreamYard, I just dug through. They've been watching. A gentleman named Daryl Willie's been watching the whole show. Mm-hmm. I shared the show to my Facebook page. Angelo.
Oh, that's where they're getting. That's where you're getting it. I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, where the hell is he getting these comments? They're not in my, not in my chat. They're in his chat. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
They could be in the foreign object. My on Facebook, Angelo. I think you're in there. The Foreign Object Pro Wrestling Group. I've been sharing the live stream in there too.
I don't know what fucking groups I'm in.
It's like the rib of Ricky Morton. Hit me with a donut hole. Hit me with a donut hole. That's my favorite.
Well, I'll tell you what, Amelia.
Yes.
Let's bring up. What do you got coming up the next couple of weeks on the show?
I've got coming up. Well, actually, April 1st, we have Rick Sapphire, Entertainment Manager of the Stars, you could say.
He is the manager to the stars and managed people like Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, Frank Sinatra for a while, Mickey Rooney, Margot Kidder, Christopher Reeve, a veritable who's who. This guy, if you were a star, Rick Sapphire was your manager and or agent. Mm-hmm. What else you got?
And then we have Bobby Candle coming on April 2nd.
Bobby Candle and the Rat Pack tribute. He is a Dean Martin tribute artist and look-alike and damn good. Mm-hmm. And he's going to bring his Rat Pack tribute to the show. What do you got for me?
And then also April 3rd, I want you to tell people about that one. That one's a doozy for you.
What's April 3rd? What are you doing to me now, Amelia?
Kenny Presley.
Oh, dear God. Listen to this one, folks. I got a guy coming on. I can't make this shit up. His name is Kenny Presley. He says he's the illegitimate son of Elvis Presley. Said he's got the DNA to prove it, and he's got the paperwork from the court to prove it. Mm-hmm. I want to see this shit. Does he look like him?
He actually does
look like him. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure. Okay.
Here's the funny part, though, Lou. Mm-hmm. There's a guy running around named Elvis Presley Jr. Mm-hmm. that's allowed to call himself Elvis Presley Jr. from the court. They believe this story, and they believe the DNA. Because apparently Elvis was banging all kinds of people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not surprised at all that he got laid a lot. Gee, what a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Imagine that, right?
Well, I know. God. Women throwing themselves at him when he was a young man. Yeah.
What else you got, Mill?
And then April the 8th, next Monday after that, we'll have Jeffrey Epstein. Did he kill himself?
Oh, I thought you'd actually have him on. That would have been interesting.
The show was after she screwed it up, Lou and Mikey. It's called...
That would have been awesome.
Epstein didn't kill himself. It's a meme.
The ghost of Jeffrey Epstein. I didn't do it.
We're gonna go down the Epstein rabbit hole one more
time. Another one.
One more time, and that's it, because people can't get enough of Epstein. I don't know. What else you got?
We're going to have Rita Gigante. She is the daughter of Vincent, the late Vincent the Chin Gigante.
She is mafia history.
Yes.
We just had a three-part series featuring Louis Big Lou Ferrante, John Gotti's right-hand man, a member of the Gambino crime family in New York. He was kind enough to forward our information to Rita Gigante, her father, the late Vinny the Chin Gigante, the so-called lunatic fringe, the lunatic godfather, would walk around New York City in his bathrobe and his hat, smoking a cigar, doing business, while people thought he was crazy. He was running the mob in New York.
Wow.
You can't make this shit up, Lou. You just can't, brother. What
was
else?
The bathrobe closed. Was the bathrobe closed at least?
Right. God.
And Wednesday, April the 10th, we have Gino DiPiero, Hamilton Radio.
Hamilton Radio. We're going to talk about radio, past, present, and future. The future of our medium, radio. Mm-hmm. Is podcasting the new radio? You bet your fucking ass it is.
Oh, yeah. That's why the last name Marconi is a good name to have.
Yeah. Well, maybe not so much, brother. I'll tell you the history of that one.
I'm kidding. That's not my family name was changed in the 20s. I'm not related at all to Guglielmo Marconi.
None. Yeah. Yeah. That's the history in that name, big time. What else you got, Amelia?
Oh, and then I'm not going to reveal a lot, but we're going to have some interesting stories about Georgia.
We have a couple of interesting cases, real life crime cases coming to the show. They came to us. They came to us from Atlanta, Georgia, the so-called Georgia Triangle. More people disappear and are end up dead in the Georgia Triangle in any given year than any other part of the United States of America. What's going on in this little place in Georgia?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to tell you, and we're going to bring a few people on. We're doing actually 3-part series on the first show. Her name is Heather. What was it? Heather Turner.
Yes.
Heather Turner. We're doing a 3-part series on Heather Turner. And then we're going to do another 3-part, maybe 4-part series on Jennifer Pearl Jones, who died under very, very mysterious circumstances. Mm-hmm. And we got some bombshell information on that case that we're not going to reveal. Right. But we're going to have one of the parties involved on the show.
Yes.
Who knew and handled the body. So going to be a very interesting case. We are now at 8:26 p.m. to our friends in Brisbane, Australia. Good morning. How are you, everyone?
Good day.
In Osaka, Japan.
Yes.
By the way, Mr. Fuji did not hail from Osaka, Japan. He was from Honolulu, Hawaii. He was not Japanese. He was Hawaiian, folks. We're going to say hello to our friends in Japan this morning. Good morning. It's about 10:30 a.m. in Japan. Nettie Slabby, hello there. Our friend Nettie. Nettie, she's a conspiracy kook like the rest of us. We love her. We love Nettie. She's going to have a ball with this show. We are translated now into 19 languages in more than 33. We are in 33 countries and more than 11.8 million subscribers to our radio platforms and our podcast streams. Hmm. And that's just the start.
Yes. What would happen if I spoke Carney?
If you spoke Carney, I would probably understand you.
To see what the translators would do. Uh-huh. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Do they know what I'm talking about?
Well, I know that Carney was how wrestlers speak. The wrestlers got their inside speaking from the carnival circuit. Yeah.
Yep, I had a Nick Bockwinkel story from his wife at Cauliflower Alley, because I guess Crippler Ray Stevens came up with reverse Carney to make sure she was completely lost. And it was a combination of Carney and Big Latin. And I'm like, I never heard of that.
Right?
So, yeah. So anyway, I was just.
We're just going to tell people, Lou. Izo, which means, okay, folks, it's time to go home.
Adios. Take it home.
All right. Amelia.
Yes.
The Pitbull Chapman. Lewis, Big Lou, Marconi. I like this. I want to bring you back, Lou. I like having you on. Michael, the movie maker, Messier. And of course, yours truly, I'm Big Daddy. Papa Bear. Call me the love bug. Call me anything you want. But don't call me late for dinner, mama.
I was just going to say that.
Wrestling with the Future. We'll see you each and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Good night, folks. Time to say goodbye. Bye-bye. Good night.